Much has been written about the president's overseas trip this past week, including his visit to the Vatican. Beyond the headlines regarding the climate change encyclical and puzzling photographs of a scowling Pope Francis, what do we need to know about this visit? Joining me right now is Father James Martin, a Jesuit priest and prolific author, whose forthcoming book addressing the Catholic Church and LGBT persons titled Building a Bridge. It's due out in just a couple of weeks. But he was also recently appointed as consultor to the Secretariat for Communication at the Vatican. And it's in that role that I want to talk with him first. Jim, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
So, what are your thoughts on the presidential visit to the Vatican?
Well, I think it was largely successful on both parts. I would think that the Pope thought it was successful and President Trump thought it was successful. I think the Pope was very clear in what he wanted to say. He did that quite symbolically by giving him a gift of a sculpture of an olive tree and said that this symbolizes my desire for peace and I hope that you might be an instrument for peace. And President Trump said, you know, I want peace. He also gave him a copy of his encyclicals, including the one on the environment, which is, you know, near and dear to his heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that President Trump came away feeling like he was able to spend time with a great moral leader. So, you know, on the whole, I thought it was pretty successful. I thought some of the commentaries of the pictures were kind of funny because the Pope generally doesn't look cheerful in formal photos, you know, no matter who he's with. So, you know, but overall, I thought it was fairly successful. Friends of mine in the Vatican say that initially it was quite tense, I would say, because the two men didn't know one another. And, you know, Trump had called him disgraceful earlier in the presidential campaign. And Pope Francis had said that anyone who wants to build walls instead of bridges is not a Christian. So apparently it warmed up. So that's the first thing to know. The second thing is that, you know, really you can find pictures of him looking serious with President Obama, you know, in the past. But actually, I think a more telling indication was when he was with President Obama, I think the meeting went for something like an hour, and it went for really the formal meeting went for 20 minutes with President Trump. And there were real sort of belly laughs when he was with President Obama. So I think that the two men, that is Obama and the Pope, were probably a little more on the same page. And, you know, a lot of it's personality, who we get along with and who we don't. But I thought that the commentary about the Pope scowling was a little overblown.
So, as you see it, probably both sides got what they wanted from the visit, and at least there's a foundation for more conversation to come if that's happening.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I really do, because I think that, without going into politics, you know, President Trump really could benefit from relying on someone like the Pope. And he said, I will read your encyclicals, and, you know, the one on the environment, Laudato Si, is very strong. And, you know, I think the Pope is the kind of person who, if Trump calls him and asks him for advice, President Trump, that is, that he wouldn't blab about it, right? And so if the Pope is able to be kind of a backdoor advisor, all the better, I think.
Well, let's go to another subject for a moment. Is there anything you can tell us about the newly appointed ambassador to the Vatican, Callista Gingrich?
Well, not much, other than she's, by all accounts, a devout Catholic. It was something of a surprise, because normally people in that role have a little bit more experience politically and, you know, are usually kind of career diplomats. The person that she is replacing is a fellow named Ken Hackett, who's a friend of mine, who ran Catholic Relief Services for many years. And so he had this vast global experience. So we'll see. You know, one of the interpretations was that he wanted to make sure that Newt Gingrich was far away and they'll be living in Rome. But I hope that's not the reason. So I was a little surprised about it, found it a little curious.
How important is that position? What does that person do there?
As any ambassador does, they represent the United States interests to the Holy See. So that would be, you know, the government of Vatican City. But it's really sort of a kind of ambassador to the Pope. They also, in my experience, my limited experience of being over there, they facilitate a lot of visits of Americans to the Vatican. So let's say that the Speaker of the House or some other senator or whatever comes over and wants to have some time with not only the Pope, but people in the Secretary of State, you know, where they have this vast experience, this worldwide experience, the U.S. ambassador would be the person to set that up.
I see.
It's an important role as a kind of conduit. And then he's also an important representative in Rome as a figure, or she would be at this point, to, you know, sort of talk about American culture, host parties and things like that. They have a 4th of July party at the embassy for all the Americans. There's a sizable contingent of Americans in Vatican City as well. Mm-hmm. So they provide a kind of home for them as well. So it's a kind of multifaceted job.
Jim, you've got a new book coming out next month. I realize it's completely unfair to try to have a brief conversation about it. But with the time we have, I do want to ask you to talk about building a bridge. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's about how the Catholic Church can reach out more compassionately to LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender Catholics, to that community, and also how the LGBT community can interact more effectively with the Church. And it uses three words from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and those that are words used to describe how the Church should minister to that community, and those words are respect, compassion, and sensitivity. And so I unpack, you know, what would it mean for the Church to treat LGBT Catholics with respect? What does it mean for them to treat them with compassion and with sensitivity? So it's a book about a dialogue. And then, you know, the second part of the book, which I'm just as excited about, is Bible passages that are chosen to help LGBT Catholics kind of understand their relationship to God, to the Church, and then to their own self-understanding. And then I have reflection questions and meditations on that. So, you know, passages that, for example, like the story of Zacchaeus, you know, mm-hmm. Zacchaeus and the tree and Jesus, you know, offering him welcome. What can that teach us about the Church? What does that teach us about how God is? And so that's just as important a part of the book. So the first part's about a dialogue, and the second part is spiritual resources.
The full title of the book is Building a Bridge, How the Catholic Church and the LGBT Community Can Enter into a Relationship of Respect, Compassion, and Sensitivity. Jim, what are you suggesting as possible first steps to building that bridge? And I know the three words get us there, but tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, that's a very good question, and I really think that the prime answer is listening. That for too long, the Catholic Church has really preached at told the LGBT community what they should do, how they should be, how they should act, and there's very little listening involved. So, you know, can we treat them with respect, first of all, by listening and saying, what's your experience like? You know, who are you? What is your experience of God like? What is your experience of Jesus like? Who is Jesus for you? And what has your experience of the Church been like? So I think the first step is really for Catholic leaders, and by that I mean bishops and archbishops and cardinals and priests and, you know, Catholic Church officials, people who work in the parishes, to really take seriously the experiences of these people, you know, who are baptized Christians, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're members of our Church.
Right.
And so can we treat them with the same compassion that Jesus did with people who felt marginalized in his time? You know, Jesus was always going out. And one of the things I say in the book is, for too long, the Catholic Church has been about us and them. You know, the them is the LGBT community. They are other. But for Jesus, really, there's no us and them. There's just us. And so can we move towards a church where it's us?
It's a rather different dynamic today than it was over the many years you've been advocating a less confrontational approach around LGBT issues within the Church. What's been the response from the hierarchy?
Cardinal Kevin Farrell, who is the head of the Vatican's Office on Family, Lay People, and Life Issues, endorsed the book. Cardinal Joseph Tobin, who's the Archbishop of Newark, endorsed it. Bishop Robert McElroy of San Diego endorsed it. And privately, other cardinals have told me how happy they are about the conversation. So, honestly, it's a sea change. And two things have happened. One, Pope Francis, you know, he even uses the word gay, which had never been used before by a pope or Vatican officials. He said, who am I to judge if, you know, a gay person is living a good life, trying to live a good life? And the second thing is the people that he's put in these positions. So the two cardinals I just mentioned, Cardinal Farrell and Cardinal Tobin, were both Francis appointees. And so he's changed the tone, and he's also changed some of the personnel. So it's really a dramatic shift. I mean, 5 years ago, I would have never even been able to get this book approved for publication. And now I have these two cardinals endorsing it.
You know, Jim, there is certainly a great ministry to the LGBTQ community. I've done it in my own ministry of trying to explain why there is misunderstanding and hate and those kinds of things. There's also, in my mind, a continuing ministry to people who are so close-minded about this whole subject. I'm just curious, where do you think that comes from? What is it about sexuality that gets the church all tied up and then usually comes out in being anti whatever the issue is?
Oh, man, another great question. I wish I could answer that in a brief moment, but I think a lot of it is fear. You know, as St. Paul said, perfect love drives out fear. And I always say that perfect fear drives out love. And so it is essentially, to my mind, a fear of the unknown, you know, for straight people, a fear of something that's unfamiliar. You know, a lot of it, I think, is, you know, sort of church teaching that I think is kind of misconstrued. And so this prevents people from listening. And it's really rampant in the Catholic Church. I find people, they don't even want to use the word gay. Even though the popes used it, they don't even want to use the words LGBT. But I think it's a fear of the other. And, you know, if we look at the Gospels again, always go back to the Gospels, Jesus is continually reaching out to people who are seen in that community as other. So, for example, you know, lepers, people with skin diseases, the sick, the Samaritan woman, the Roman centurion, tax collectors. I mean, his ministry is continually going out to people who are really beyond the pale. And in the church today, at least in the Catholic Church, it is the LGBT community that has that role. And so I think if Jesus were here, he would be going to LGBT people and trying to make them feel welcome. So I think it's a really important ministry. But you're right, there is a ministry to that group of people. And the third group, frankly, are the parents and grandparents and family members of these LGBT people. That's been the great revelation for me. That it's not just a ministry to a very small group of people, it's actually a ministry to a large group of people when you consider their families and friends.
Father James Martin is a Jesuit priest who has recently been appointed consultor to the Secretariat for Communication at the Vatican. He is the longtime culture editor of America Magazine and author of numerous books, including My Life with the Saints and, coming next month, Building a Bridge, How the Catholic Church and the LGBT Community Can Enter into a Relationship of Respect, Compassion, and Sensitivity. Jim, it's always great to talk with you, and thanks for taking time to be with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much.